Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, you got the money?
Yeah, it's all here, 100 grand.
Where's Murph?
He doesn't come to these things, but he's in.
I don't give a
Sports before weather. You can guarantee it.
Yeah.
Every night.
Yeah, yeah.
Every night.
Yeah, yeah, relax. Don't worry about it.
Hey, where to next?
Louisville.
Live from WHO HD, it's Sound Off with Keith Murphy and John Sears, featuring Andy Fales with What's Bugging Andy. Now, get ready to Sound Off.
Alongside John Sears, I'm Keith Murphy. Welcome to Sound Off. Man, it's kind of just a bummer of a few days for college football fans in the state.
It's just kind of a buzzkill week, right, in the last 3 days? Because you're getting revved up for the games, and then it's just a loss and a letdown and a little bit more. And we had a great game, though, leading into Sound Off tonight for Sunday Night Football, right?
Yeah, oh, yeah. Colts and Seahawks, thanks for staying up late. 515-282-9010 is the number to Sound Off. The hot topic, a pair of clunkers. Cyclones and Hawkeyes lose in disappointing fashion. In a big opportunity moment, the Cyclones look lost on offense against beatable Texas. Frustrating night for loyal Iowa State fans. Texas wins 17-7.
The Iowa team that played so hard and so well against Penn State did not show up in East Lansing. Offense the problem. Hawks lose 17-10. What went wrong and where do the teams go from here? Sound off. 515-282-9010.
What a letdown. Two winnable games, 17 total points. Season high bar expectations now lowered. The underwhelming losses dominated discussion along with Iowa State's new secondary logo. Now, I've said for years, Iowa State needs to take advantage of its unique nickname. Many schools start with the letter I, but there's only one, Cyclones. Players apparently love the helmets. My first reaction, meh, nice try, needs tweaking. I also braced for an inevitable backlash. People must feed the social media outrage machine. And boy, did they. The mark was called Horn of Plenty, Cornucopia of Crap, a spiral sliced ham with glaze of blood, upside down emoji, pile of poop, and most frequently, a bugle, chip, not horn. Former Cyclone star Todd Blythe tweeted, officially protesting the Cyclones' secondary logo, looks like a halftime snack. Even Bugles' official Twitter checked in, responding to Chris Hassel. Bugles wrote, "We've got some matching gloves for the helmets. Yes, I prefer this look. Many of you said to Sound Off. Not even sure who designed it. And the new Cyclone mark will also look better on a white helmet. Thursday's helmet had way too much red. But logo looks like a toilet flush? Inverted puke? Bloody bowel movement? For the love of Cyhawk, this is not the pewter family. I don't know how the Tiger Hawk went over when it debuted, but once the Hawkeyes started winning, it looked better. Doesn't matter if Cyclone fans say from the right angle, the Tiger Hawk looks like Fred Flintstone. It's now iconic. Part of Iowa State's problem is a dud game followed the logo launch, which now gives it a new Coke vibe. But as Crash Davis told Nuke LaLouche about his nasty shower shoes, if you win 20 in the show, you can let the fungus grow back and the press will think you're colorful. If Iowa State starts winning big games, fans will accept a helmet with cheese balls.
That'd be quite the logo right there. All right, 3 weeks ago, we were witness to one of the best Cyhawk games ever, maybe the best, 44-41 overtime win for the Hawkeyes. That game left both fan bases feeling good. But maybe that game was just a great game between two average to below average teams. The Cyclones' loss to an average Texas team wasn't a surprise, but the lack of energy and offense was. I was not at the game, but I've had multiple people tell me, even before kickoff, the atmosphere was blah, lacked any kind of buzz. Then during the game, we saw an offense that resembled a kindergarten music concert. Out of sorts, no rhythm. Jacob Park was amped up like he drank 10 cans of Jolt. The best defense on David Montgomery came from his own team not giving him the ball. Just 9 carries, a complete buzzkill of a game. Now ISU fans look at the schedule and think, outside of Kansas and maybe Baylor, where do the wins come from? Iowa's loss to Penn State still had Hawkeye fans feeling okay, 2 inches away from a big upset. A defensive hangover to start against Michigan State, but then Iowa holds Sparty scoreless in the second half. The troubles were on offense. Another overthrown touchdown. 2 fumbles, including a momentum crusher where Nate Stanley looked like something out of a Charlie Brown skit. And the running game? 19 yards total? Stanley was 8 years old the last time Iowa had a worse rushing performance. Injuries haven't helped, but right now Iowa ranks 95th in rushing yards per game. Everything starts up front, and that's a problem right now for the Hawkeyes.
Well, yes, all of that and more. Let's hear what you have to think, 282-9010. We'll get it started with our man Les in Ames. Les, that was a bummer in a big spot Thursday night. I never expected what we saw from the Cyclones in that game, but there's, 8 games left to the season. What did you think?
John, I'm extremely disappointed at the way these guys played. I'm extremely disappointed at Jacob Park. David Montgomery got 9 touches. 9 touches.
It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. Yeah, there's no way to justify that, Les, because what Jacob Park most needed, especially early when for more than 11 minutes of game clock, Montgomery wasn't carrying the football, and what Park needed was to have some of the pressure taken off him.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And that's when you go to your running game, even though I do think the coaches thought it was going to be tough to run on Texas, and Texas defense looks legit to me.
You've got
to keep trying, especially in that first half, and Park was clearly rattled, and he needed some pressure off him.
And you can tell that he got all the pressure was on him, and 3 interceptions, like, that's not even a good look, guys. It's just disappointing that they stopped trying with David Montgomery. It needed to start on the ground game, and it just didn't happen.
Yeah, it's the first time. Thank you, Les. It's the first game, John, of the Matt Campbell era where many fans were questioning some of the coaching decisions mm-hmm. that comes along with the job. And I think any reasonable person would concede that Tom Manning had a rough night as the offensive coordinator.
And who would have thought going into this game that the defense would look really good for Iowa State?
The defense did look sharp.
You hold Texas to 17 points, you should be able to win that game, especially since all the talk about Iowa State was on this high-powered octane offense, getting the ball to all these wide receivers. You got an NFL-caliber running back in Montgomery, and you score 7 points.
Somehow Iowa State was still in it.
Exactly. The defense
still
somehow
in
kept
the defense.
Them in it.
Yeah, yeah, that's the
just
somehow.
Like the Iowa game, the defense kept Iowa in it. The defense kept Iowa State in it.
Let's switch over to East Lansing. Mike is in Ankeny. Mike, what did you think of the Hawkeye effort, which was also kind of a bummer to fans?
Well, I tell you, being a 1968 University of Iowa alumni, yeah, I bleed black and gold all over the floor, but Mr. Brian Ferentz has got to change something. We just can't do it the same old stuff we've been doing. We can't keep running it up the middle against a line who saw the Penn State films. And let's throw the ball some more. But you guys have a great show. Go Hawks.
Thank you for that. John, 2 things come to mind for me. This would be the game you could criticize Brian Ferentz maybe more than other games. But I really think he's doing fine in his first year mm-hmm. as offensive coordinator. I think there are 2 big problems here. The offense clearly misses Ike Butker, and the offensive line is not blocking well. And then the other thing is Stanley has to hit some of these deep throws to take some pressure off Akram Wadley in the running game. There's just no room to run.
And there's no threat of a deep passing game. And that's what teams are banking on when they're playing the Hawkeyes. When when a team really has no chance of hitting a throw more than 25 yards downfield, I went back and watched some of these plays. These linebackers from Michigan State, as soon as the ball is snapped, they are sprinting. They're sprinting
into
the line.
They're up in the box.
They have no respect for Iowa's passing game. So Iowa start, they have to get the ball downfield through the air. Once you start doing that, that'll open some stuff up for Wadley. But on the flip side of that, I think we do need to say the offensive line is struggling mightily.
Yeah, they are.
They are missing a lot of blocks, and the holes are closing quickly for Wadley. And that's a scat back that can't get through.
Yeah, it's been underreported how much they miss Big Ike at tackle on that line. And they miss Butler. They need more power
from power,
the running back, because Wadley's great, but he needs space, and they're not able to create space. Time for lookalikes with a local connection. We'll get to more of your live calls later in the show at 282-9010. Old Spice is our lookalikes judge. Cody in Des Moines says ISU linebacker Brian Peavy looks like former NFL quarterback Michael Vick. Old Spice. Fishman says, selfie Tommy Birch of the Des Moines Register looks like Goldie Gopher alternate helmet. Old Spice.
They're laughing at Goodson's right now.
There's an old saying that has never gone out of style, and boy, did we need it this weekend. It's What's Bugging Andy next.
Follow us on Twitter if you choose. It's at SoundOff13. Chris writes, calm down, Hawk fans. Stanley is four starts into his career. First real road test coming off a tough L. Not surprised the O looked shaky. Hashtag relax.
Joel writes, if Iowa doesn't get other running backs involved, more poor rushing games ahead. Wadley can't manufacture yards on his own.
That's true. He needs some space. A reaction to national anthem protests continues to polarize.
And it's What's Bugging Andy.
I don't know about you, but I am especially happy to begin a new week. For many of us, last week was an exhausting, exasperating 7 days of debating, arguing, maybe even fighting over a subject that many of us wished would just go away. Well, you know what? The week did go away, even if the subject didn't. And you can rest assured that time will continue to numb the raw nerves of last week. That's the advice I have for those of you who just couldn't stand it, just couldn't ignore it, the sight of Americans practicing the age-old American practice of protest. Whether you shook your head or booed or went so far as to burn your NFL jersey, let's hope you didn't completely burn the bridge, because this too shall come to pass. No one really knows who came up with that line, but man, were they right. I mean, think of all that we have been deeply offended by and how little of it bothers us today. We got past Joe McCarthy and Vietnam and Watergate and disco and Vanilla Ice, and very soon, hopefully, flat-billed hats. Love you, Harrison. You thought you just couldn't stand it, but you just plain could, and did, and will again. If you can handle the fact that the NFL sometimes features criminals and wife beaters and gruesome injuries and cases of flat-out extortion where billionaire owners fleece taxpayers for lavish stadiums that the fans can't even afford to attend, then you can handle this. Don't act like you can't. You're American, and that means that unlike so many other people in the world, you have a deep-seated belief that this too shall come to pass. I'm Andy Fales, and that's what's bugging me.
Thank you, Andy. Corey and Bondurant will join us in a moment. We'll take any chance, though, to show Cubs superfan Bill Murray. He's the subject of Who's in Your Five up next, plus 515-282-9010. A line open right now. You can sound off on what we saw this weekend. You can like us on Facebook at Sound Off Nation. You'll find all the videos there after the show. Corey writes, clearly outcoached and Parks stunk up the field, although it ended 17-7. It felt like 70-0 the entire game. I felt there was a lack of energy from the crowd. Montgomery definitely needs more carries. On to the next one. We'll be all right. It may just take longer than us fans had hoped.
Jason writes, Parks' performance was the issue. He consistently overthrew receivers all night. Cyclone defense was stout. Bend, don't break. Both Texas touchdowns were after two stupid penalties. If Park had played better, ISU wins.
Yeah, who would have thought Iowa State would score just 7 points? Certainly not me. And, yeah, Haycock and the defense had a good night. Who's in your five? Bill Murray may play Cubs manager Joe Maddon in an upcoming movie, which sounds perfect. In honor of that potential choice casting, our five favorite Bill Murray roles. Number five, John Winger in Stripes. Murray at his defiant slacker best. Just wish I hadn't drunk all that cough syrup this morning. Number four is Phil Connors in Groundhog Day.
Oh, it's good.
Murray's most balanced comic role. The rare movie that improves with repeat viewing. Phil Connors, bing. Number three, underrated Ernie McCracken in Kingpin. The comb over starts coming apart. The classic sponsor of Fatherless Kid.
Love that bowling ball, too.
Yeah. Number two, Peter Venkman in Ghostbusters.
Oh.
The scientist who doesn't believe any of what he's selling and the delivery, he's slimy. And number one, Carl Spackler in Caddyshack, the most quoted movie character in history for millions of guys of a certain age, which is nice. Actually, this does get annoying out on the golf course.
It's in the hole.
Yeah, over and over again. Corey's in Bondurant. Corey, you have a thought on Cyclone football. What is it, Corey?
Yeah, I can't stand that, Campbell. Regardless of the way a game's going, if you punt from inside the opponent's 33-yard line on 4th and 7, you don't have a good enough grasp of math to place the proper value on possession of the football. When you get inside the 35 or 40, tell yourself it's 4-down territory. It'll be an immense help, and it'll just be another wrinkle the defenses will have to prepare for.
All right, thank you. Yeah, John, I'm
agreeing
shocked
on that. Yeah.
At punting at the 33.
Yeah, that's... I mean, that's a 50-yard field goal. Most teams have a kid that can kick a 50, but to punt?
You can't punt there. You can't punt there. You can't tell a crowd that's already down about that stupid penalty that cost Iowa State momentum early, unsportsmanlike, excessive celebration. Can't do that. You got to be smarter than that. That took the crowd out of it, and then the punt from the 33-yard line took the crowd further out of it. Bob is near Indianola. Bob, where are you?
I'm in Milo.
Oh, hi. All right. Good to have you here, Bob. What are you thinking on the Hawkeye game?
Well, thank you. It just seems to me, and it's been something that's been happening, every time that we have a great offensive line, we don't have anybody that can run the ball. And now that we have somebody that can run the ball, it seems like the offensive line is not what it's cracked up to be.
Yeah, they don't – thank you, Bob. They don't have it figured out yet, John, but it would help everything if Stanley could just hit some of these deep balls. He's early in his career. He's just overthrowing. They've got to open up some space.
And if you watch some of these plays closely, they are missing blocks downfield against linebackers and safeties. So it's not all on Stanley. The offensive line does have to play better.
Defense is in the box too, that's for sure. Yeah. When we come back, the gift that keeps on giving, something to make us happy on this rough sports weekend, plus live calls, 515-282-9010 to sound off. You can always email the show. Sure, it's considered old-fashioned at this point, but we're okay with it. Sound off at whotv.com. This OC is worse than the last one. Two, if the QB race was so close that Iowa couldn't name a starter until the week before the season, why haven't we seen the backup? Stanley can't throw deep, can't run, doesn't look like a winner. That is a harsh review from TJ in Urbandale.
He played pretty well in Iowa State, Stanley.
He did.
They were happy when he won that game. If Iowa's quarterback wasn't batting 10% on deep balls, the games would be a different story. But at least we are throwing the deep balls. The losses are not on the play calling, the O-line, wide receivers. It's simple. QB growing pains. He needs better accuracy. That is from Josh. Time for face-off, Murph. The NFL suspends Bears linebacker Danny Trevathan 2 games for his vicious hit on Green Bay's Devontae Adams. Too harsh?
No. Trevathan doesn't have a bad rep, but this hit is everything the NFL wants to avoid. Defenseless ball carrier, launching tackle, head down, helmet to helmet. Bad.
Yeah, no more culture of he got jacked up.
No.
Highlight of Iowa's football weekend may be Tom Rinaldi's story on the Kinnick wave of hope. Few things have taken off this quickly or received this much attention. Rightfully so.
Yeah, all deserved, John. There is just nothing to not love about this wave. Michigan State fans did it from East Lansing so the kids back in Iowa City could see it on television.
Yeah, the whole thing is a good reality check, too.
Yeah, we need it. It is. And a reminder, Kirk and Mary Ferentz donated $1 million. There's a reason they're beloved by those who know them best.
End of an era in Kansas City. Hosmer, Moustakas, Kane, and Escobar exit the game to an ovation today from Royals fans. They're all likely gone.
Yeah, welfare check on Michael Admire tonight, probably. Small market baseball can be cruel, but those guys helped deliver a World Series just 2 years ago, and that helps the sting.
Still sucks for the fans,
it
though.
It does.
Cubs made the playoffs 3 straight years for the first time since 1908. Buzz feels nothing like last year, though.
It won't. Ending that drought was about so much more than baseball on emotional levels. This year, it's baseball. And don't forget the Twins. They're in, too.
They no longer have the dome. They'll be out quickly, right?
Okay. Over, under. Overrated. Tony Romo, NFL quarterback.
Underrated. Tony Romo, NFL analyst.
He is fantastic.
Does great in the booth.
I know. It's like sport just to watch him predict what's about
He's
to
really
happen.
He's really good.
Yeah, he is so good at that. All right. We have a cup.
Oh.
I hear him.
Tony Ref is the king. Well, I can play and sing. I can sing treble clef. You only got 1 minute left. So better wrap up the show. Oh, I got to go.
That's pretty good.
He's got a little rhythm. Good. He's got a decent voice. He can play, what is that, the ukulele he's playing there?
I like that. Okay, so 1 minute left in the show. John in Des Moines, your thoughts on the Cyclone uniform?
Yeah, hi. I graduated from the College of Design up at Iowa State. I got to say, we finally came up with a beautiful uniform, collegiate-looking I-State helmet, the cardinal in gold, and we came out looking like we just stopped at Goodwill to play the game. I mean, beautiful uniform. Wear them.
Not a fan of the red on the gray. A lot of people didn't like the red with the gray pants.
I don't know either.
If that's a great match. I think you either got to go one or the other. Like, gray on gray I don't think is terrible, but I think the red with the gray, a lot of people just didn't like that.
Football uniforms look best when the helmet matches the color of the pants.
And when you win.
And when you win. That solves everything. Alex and Ames, you'll have the final word, Alex.
Hi, thanks. Why can't the Hawkeyes run a jet sweep towards the far sideline instead of the sideline that's nearest the hash mark that they're snapping the ball from?
They do always run it to that short side, and it gets stuffed a lot, especially when the O-line is struggling. I do know what you're saying on that. I would hope, and I bet Brian Ferentz has a tweak for that next week.
That'll do it for us. We are back next week, and we hope you are too.
We leave you with the sound-off send-off. Valley Southeast Polk was an instant classic Friday night. It came down to the final play, a la Rams-Titans Super Bowl 34. Check it out right here. Good night. Fourth down for the Rams. They need a touchdown to keep the game going.
Oh, so close.
What a great close. Game. Half a yard short.